Salut to the Offside Rule Women's World Cup Edition in association with Spotify. Me, I'm Kate Forsay, and what a podcast we have in store for you today. In the studio, it's former Chelsea, West Ham and England defender and Canada's biggest fan in the whole wide world, Claire Rafferty.
Woo, hey.
Thank you for not having the flu today, by the way. You threatened it. And back for more, because she just can't get enough. It's author, journalist and board treader. I swear she's been living down in this basement of jazz over the last 3 days solid. It's Dr. Carrie Dunn.
I cannot remember what sunlight looks like.
Are you ready for a show circus, guys? All right, let's start with the USA versus Spain. USA will face France in the quarterfinal after an unexpectedly difficult 2-1 win over Spain. It was 1-1 inside the first 10 minutes. Megan Rapinoe from the penalty spot before Jenny Hermoso equalised. But it wasn't the goal fest we might have expected. It took another penalty converted by Rapinoe in the 70th minute to send Spain home, having had their most successful Women's World Cup ever. But the fact that USA didn't score from open play in this one, are we starting to see a chink in their armour, Claire Rafferty?
No, I think what we have seen is a team that can match their movement. I don't think they could handle the top three. And I really enjoyed the match-up between Corredera and Rapinoe. I think they really were kind of going for it. And obviously Rapinoe scored them two penalties in the end. But I think Corredera actually won that battle because, as we said, out of open play, nothing really happened.
It took then VAR to help see the USA through. What about you, Carrie, in terms of has your opinion of USA changed after this game?
I don't think so. I mean, I still think they're heavy favourites to still win this tournament. I did quite like the fact that we saw a different side of the USA team because Spain were really putting them under a lot of physical pressure. I mean, Raf just mentioned the matchup between Rapinoe and Corredera.
Was that because of Spain's possession play, though, that USA couldn't quite handle that?
Yeah, I think so. And then also because, obviously, Spain, as we've talked about, their many kind of foibles over the past episodes, and the fact that they have this amount of possession and just don't do anything with it, they started to find more of a cutting edge. You saw Hermoso pushing up, not playing as deep as she has been. And they were really giving the USA some stick, and that really shook the USA. They had to respond to it. So I quite like seeing a different side to this very, very strong USA team.
Yeah, so someone taking the game to the USA rather than the USA bossing it from the word go. Raf, Spain's goal, that was by Jenny Hermoso, a defensive error, a rare defensive error from the USA. But have we not been saying all tournament that there is a bit of fragility at the back?
Yeah, and that was summed up in the decision-making from the goalkeeper to play it to the centre-back there. But actually, you know, I watched it back a few times and I thought, you know, they're trying to play at the back, so you have to kind of applaud that. And in a different situation, she would have been able to play it around the corner. It was just that Spain had set the trap and they capitalised from that, and they'd obviously, you know, acknowledged that early on and were going for it in that kind of way.
The second pen, Carrie, Rose Lavelle fouled or was she, is my question.
I still don't think it was a penalty, even after VAR. So again, the little watch words with VAR is whether it's a clear and obvious error. And if it's still a judgment call, I don't know. I can't be bothered to go through this again. I didn't think it was a pen. The referee gave it. She scored it. You know, they won.
Tom Daly would be proud of that one, I think. It was a skip, hop and a jump into into their nosedive.
Can I just take a quick interlude, and producer Abby, please do feel free to put a bit of easy jazz behind this section. Can we just quickly talk about VAR? Because when I meet a person who is not involved in this World Cup and has not watched every game, this is the talking point. And particularly when I speak to some of my mates who cover men's football, who are not covering this World Cup, this is what they're all talking about. Because of course it was introduced during the Men's World Cup last year and it was fairly okay, went down fairly well. But it just seems to have turned into, and this isn't the way she's used it, but a complete show in this tournament so far. Can we clarify why VAR has been, I mean, why has it been such a nightmare?
I think because there's no room for any common sense. Everything's so literal. the handball situation, there's been a change of rules as well.
Yes, so handball and also penalty taking.
So
right?
that's caused a lot of issues. And I think what's happened is the referees haven't had the exposure to these new rules and the VAR. You can train all you like, but it's when you get to a match situation, same for the players, you can't replicate it. Mm. So that's where the kind of confusion's coming from.
Does it stay? Does it go? Do we have any choice in the matter?
Well, I think it's going to stay. I think it needs to be considered how it's being employed. We cannot keep having these 7-minute delays for any kind of major decision in the match. It's just not going to work like that, surely. We were saying off air, a referee with a voice in her earpiece the entire time, she can't be 100% concentrating on the match because someone is talking to her. It's almost like the games are being re-refereed off the pitch. It's not under her control anymore.
Does the voice in the ear, Raf, does that empower the referee or does it undermine the referee?
I think whenever you've made a decision and then you hear that voice, it does make you second guess your first decision. So I think it does undermine. I think undermine is the wrong word. I just think it causes a bit of confusion.
Hesitation. Yeah.
And then you have to go and look because you're thinking, oh, have I missed something?
Yes. Normally when I hear voices in my head, it's the kind of voice I really shouldn't be listening to. Well, I just wanted to take that quick interlude before we return to USA versus Spain. By the way, this is nice, OK? This is the furthest, as we've said, that Spain have ever reached in a Women's World Cup. It's their second Women's World Cup ever, so they've got some definitely positive takeaways from this, apart from the fact that they really need to strengthen their attack, don't they? They really need to develop that side of their game.
Well, I think they've got the players to actually score goals if they actually push them forward, not play so deep the entire time. I was actually really impressed with Spain during this match. I mean, clearly they were stinging from us having a bit of a bitch about them yesterday and from being ranked 16th out of 16 in the Guardian's power rankings, although they did deserve it. I mean, they came out ready to have that battle, to go toe-to-toe with the USA, when it would have been quite easy to think, oh, we're going to lose this anyway.
They were just more direct, weren't they? It's as simple as that.
So was that the key? Is that the key to playing USA, to play with freedom, like you're going to go out anyway and you don't care?
I'm not necessarily kind of expecting that you're going to lose, but go out, play your football, show what you can do because
you might as well.
You might as well, exactly. And a shot on target in the opening minutes was already better than they'd done in the group games. So,
absolutely.
Good for them.
Spain manager Jorge Bilder says, in terms of competitiveness, we've been able to be the equals of the best team in the world. We've been able to give them a run for their money. We are a national team that have shown our potential for growth.
Good for him.
Yes, very much good for him. Let's talkly about some of the players. Alex Morgan, is she fit? What's going on?
Injured. She's clearly
so
not
injured,
fit.
Says Carrie Dunn. Injured. Okay. Best player for you on the pitch today, Claire Rafferty?
Rose Lavelle. And the best pass
fell.
Of the whole tournament. Yeah, after the... No, sorry, that was before the dive. The pass of the tournament to Rapinoe was just exquisite. Her vision and execution was top class, and Rapinoe should have actually scored, and that would have been a goal from open play.
They'd something they didn't manage today. USA France is this Friday. How much are we looking forward to this one, huh? Okay, Raf, you're in for this one. What are you hoping for?
I want France to win.
Okay, what do you think will happen?
I don't think they will. I just think USA have got too much experience at winning in these high pressurized situations. I know that France obviously are gaining the momentum, that they overcame Brazil.
But they weren't great against
Brazil,
though.
But they have showed that winning mentality to go in extra time. They've got some fantastic quality. And I just really like the connection down the right-hand side with Diani and Gouvin waiting to pounce in the middle. And yeah, I think that left-hand side of defence today actually was highlighted as a bit of a weakness in my eyes because they're so attacking. They leave so much space behind.
Yeah.
I do think ultimately USA have got enough to overcome France.
What do you think we'll get in this game, Carrie?
If we see the USA side and the France sides that turned up for these round of 16 matches, we might get a 0-0 draw on penalties, Raf. You'll like that one.
Oh.
But the USA-France clash is obviously a repeat of the semi-final 8 years ago. So USA won that 3-1. But there's not that many overlaps in terms of personnel. There's not that kind of continuity. But I think Morgan came on.
Arguably France are a better team now?
I think definitely France are a better team now.
The game's developed a lot more in that nation, hasn't it?
So... yeah, this one should be interesting. I think Raf's probably right in that USA will win it, but I think France might push them close if they step it up.
All right, well, we'll leave the ultimate build-up to this hotly anticipated tie down to Megan Rapinoe, who says, "I hope it's a total shell circus." I don't think Megan's quite got the right understanding of show there. I hope it's a great show, but I hope it's not a show circus.
Yeah, because if there's anything like that Canada game just now, then there's going to be a few people turning off.
Hold that thought, Raph. Let's talk about the other game today. Sweden versus Canada. Well, Canada have been deposited off in this Women's World Cup after Sweden notched up a pretty pedestrian 1-0 victory against them. Sweden through to the quarterfinals. Stina Blackstenius with the only goal 10 minutes into the second half. A pretty frustrating game to watch, Claire Rafferty. Lacking in any real flow. Did Canada just not play very well?
I think the first half in particular was very stale.
Well, the commentator, and he's being kind, right? Because he probably works for FIFA or someone who needs to advertise the game. The commentator described the first half as stale and soulless. Comments on that one, Carrie Dunn?
Yeah, he's not wrong, is he? I think my actual comment I've got written down in my notes is the first half was hideous, and that's all I've written for the first half.
Well, I've got a note here that you had some insightful comments about donuts.
This is a very long story, but I will tell it, referring to the stale and soulless argument. So before I went out to Nice for the World Cup the first week, I bought some donuts and left them in my kitchen.
Where from were these donuts so that we can just imagine what they look like?
Oh, they were from the bakery around the corner.
Nice.
They're nice donuts.
Yeah.
So they're wrapped up in my kitchen. I forgot about them and I can't imagine how I would do that because normally donuts do not last in my kitchen. I eat them. And so I got back 10 days later and I didn't have any food in my house apart from these donuts. And I thought, this is the only food I've got. I'm so hungry. I'm going to eat these donuts. And obviously they were stale, but they were all I had. And so I had to eat them. That is what this match was to me today. It was stale. I had to go through it and it was not good.
I don't know what was worse, the game or
the donut story?
or the stale donuts.
You tell it, Raph. It's not my fault.
If you momentarily fell asleep during that donut story, that's the game. That is the underlying message of the game. All right, let's talk about the high point. Player of the match, Hegvig Lyngdal. You wouldn't have been surprised by what happened. Raph, just explain.
Yeah, fantastic save. Another VAR decision with the handball. And rightly so, I think her arm was slightly away from her body. A fantastic save from Hedvig. She would have done her homework with that and she would have known exactly where Becky was going.
Yes, saving a penalty. Interesting that Becky took it rather than Sinclair.
Well, I was having a look at the Twitters to find out what Canada fans were thinking, and they were thinking that this was kind of Captain Sinclair trying to kind of hype up some of her players who are a little bit despondent, you know, give one of the other players a chance to get a goal.
But that didn't work out great, did
it? It wasn't a terrific decision, I have to say, because I think Sinclair might have had more of a chance of scoring it, but there we go.
Yeah, it was a strange one, especially for such a personality. It's like Marta not stepping up and taking the penalty.
And,
it's quite
strange.
Yeah, and
this is probably Sinclair's last World Cup, right? Although she will find a way to regenerate and come back for the next one, probably. Just picking up on Hedvig Lyngdal, she has, well, there were question marks about whether she should be the first choice goalkeeper for Sweden because she's had a bit of a frustrating time at Sweden, and all the kind of Chelsea alumni that we've had through the studio here all said, no, you have to play her. You can't not play her. She's too good for that side to leave out, and totally justified then in her inclusion today, Raph.
Yeah, she's a leader. She's very vocal. She leads by example, and what she does do, she brings a calm because she's got so much experience. You can, you know, if you're having a bit of a bad game, the amount of times I turn around and, you know, she'd be able to just calm you down. You need that when you're in such a high pressurised situation. And yeah, there wasn't a great deal she had to deal with in that game because Canada had just the one shot on target, which was that penalty, wasn't it?
I can confirm that Canada had two shots on target after seeing no dots at all on the graphic at half time. Well, Canada did lose their heads a bit in the last 10 minutes, I think, you know, trying to get something out of the game. But all they did was potentially give a pen away to Sweden. Sweden were offside for that. But, you know, this isn't an old side, is it? Is it one of the youngest sides here at the World Cup? I haven't got the figures in front of me, but I have a feeling that I was surprised when I heard just how young their squad is. So what's not working in this Canada side?
Yeah, it's interesting, the average age, because, yeah, you're right. You kind of think of them as a side that, you know, they've been around for ages, but a lot of these made their debuts very, very young. And obviously Christine Sinclair, God love her, bumps the average age up quite a lot. So I think this is possibly a squad in transition. I think these young players are not quite sure what they're doing yet. Obviously, there have been changes behind the scenes in terms of the coaching in the past 18 months as well.
I wonder if they miss Herdman's dynamism. Is that a word,
Carrie? That's a word.
Yeah, thank you. I thought I'd run it by the academic in the room. They're just missing a bit of something. And actually, you know, Herdman, for kind of all his sort of ego trips, was very good at getting that side going. And of course, there was the whole buzz of a nation behind them, wasn't there, in the last World Cup?
The lack of an actual league in Canada, do you think that affects the grassroots players coming up, or potential, maybe a slip in the talent pool?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because you get so many kind of clubs where people kind of gravitate towards a particular club. So like Man City in England, you have kind of your little core of the England squad there. And obviously Lyon is somewhere else where kind of players gravitate towards for the France squad. So yeah, maybe. But you know, USA and Canada is an odd beast for the domestic leagues, isn't it? And the way that clubs are organised and the franchising and the travel, perhaps it doesn't have the same kind of cachet as it would in Europe.
News just in from Abby, producer. The average age is 24.8 years. Oh, this Canada side down from 27.7 years in 2015. Sweden coach Peter Gerhardsson said on Matchday Minus One his side would have to expel every carbohydrate, however that gets done, to get his side through the match unscathed. Did they expel every carbohydrate? They didn't have to, did they?
They've still got some donuts in their pocket for sure.
Lovely. Well, to talk this game through, delighted to say we're joined by women's football journalist and the person with the most Women's World Cup miles on her clock. It's Sophie Lawson. Hi, Sophie.
Hi, Kate.
You've travelled around a fair bit. I bet you were pleased you went to this game.
Yeah, I think I was most pleased that and nothing against Canada, but I was most pleased that there wasn't an equaliser, because I don't think I could
have
had another.
Sophie, we totally hear you. We totally hear you here in the studio. How did you keep yourself amused during the game? Did you sneak lots of free FIFA bananas into your backpack?
I had a free FIFA apple when I got here.
You're kidding.
It was a good apple, I'm not going to lie, but I was one of the first through the door.
Can you imagine if it was a bad apple from FIFA? Now that would be a story.
They're the bad apples. I think you'll find are in Valenciennes, from memory.
Oh,
they are flavourless. Yes, it was a good one in Paris.
Jolly good indeed. Can you give us any insight into this game from your perspective that we might have missed? Anything that might make it slightly more interesting, perhaps?
It's a tough one for Canada, because they really did push in the end. But you know, it was a little bit predictable, because they are very good at scoring, getting 1-0 wins. But if they come up against an attack that has goals in it, that then provides problems for them. And I don't think in the run-up to this World Cup, they were fully tested enough to have a plan B.
And, you know, also respect to Canada, because they are out of the World Cup. It can't be nice to exit a World Cup after that performance. Is there going to be any sort of recriminations over in Canada about the side's performance?
I don't think so. I think that there's a lot of questions as to why Becky was a penalty taker, when people know that Christine Sinclair, if you ignore the record, and I know she wants to, but she's very good from 12 yards. And I think maybe there are questions to be asked there, but then that's putting a lot on Becky's shoulders. But this is the style they've gone with under Heine Müller. I think it's the bed that they've made, and it now moving forward into the Olympics, it's do they try and change things, or do they stay the course with it?
Yeah. What's been said post-match? Have you caught anything?
The Canada players are disappointed. They're pretty forlorn down in the mix zone. But I think it's all hitting them now. It's anytime anyone exits a major tournament, it's just emotions right after the fact. So. There are a lot of bloodshot eyes down there, and
that's a shame.
Because
it's interesting to compare it to Canada, which was their home tournament. When England dispatched of them, Raf's best game ever, by the way, this one. Claire Rafferty in the studio with us here. When they exited from the tournament. They'd basically had a blast and they'd given it everything and they had the support of the nation behind them. And we actually saw them out, I think, that night or the night after, and they were celebrating one of the players' birthdays. And they were on great form. And I think that the general vibe from them was they'd had a great World Cup, they'd had a great experience, and they'd given it everything that they got. And I think this is a huge contrast to that, isn't it?
Well, I could be wrong here, but I think they're ranked fifth in the world. And the performances they've been putting in, the way they've been setting up, isn't what you'd expect from a team that high up the rankings. They've got players they're not utilising. I think there's a lot more that this team has to show that they didn't this World Cup because of how they play. But as I say, that's what they've opted to do.
Yeah. We'd like to move on to your sunburn. How is it? Because I gather you've got some... Well, I mean, it's really hot over there, isn't it? How are you coping?
Well, I'm barely coping. I had to take a break between the train station and the stadium earlier to sit in the shade. And I felt like a dog in the inn when it's hot out. I wanted to stick my tongue out and start panting. It's not nice when it's humid.
Yes, it's incredibly hot over there.
It is indeed. And I feel for the Sweden players who just had to run around for 90 minutes. It spiked and the weather's going to stay hot for a while.
Sophie Lawson, thanks very much for speaking to us. And no doubt we will chat again.
Of course.
Stay cool. Women's football journalist Sophie Lawson. Can't believe I told her to stay cool at the end.
Okay.
Bit of an idiot thing to say, wasn't it? Well, the winner of this game meets Germany in the quarterfinals on Saturday in Rennes. Could this be a bit of a cagey, non-exciting affair, Carrie Dunn, or will either of those teams go for it?
I don't think it'll be cagey. I think it might be non-exciting.
Not again.
Sorry. I think Germany might do Germany things and just come out and go, let's score four goals in the first half and just put this to bed.
You're in for that one is the good news. What about you, Raf? Who do you favour, Germany or Sweden?
I think Germany, because I think they're over-reliant on Blackstenius and Aslani, and other than that, they don't create a great deal. So Germany definitely have too much of them.
Let's see if they fulfil their full quota of carbohydrate expulsion in that Germany game. All right, let's move on to tomorrow's games.
Well, hello there, Offside Rulers. This is producer Ben from the Totally Football Show, suggesting, very politely, that when you're done with this latest episode of Kate & Co., that you should mosey on over to the award-winning Totally Football Show, where we have two podcasts for you every week throughout the summer. This week, you can hear us lamenting Newcastle's decision to part ways with Rafa Benitez.
It's not just bad for Newcastle, it's bad for football as a whole. It is the whole idea of, we can do the right thing, but how much money would it cost?
We caught Julien Laurent on Neymar's future, or lack thereof, at PSG.
For him not to say, I regret leaving Barcelona, and he implemented the whole move. It was nothing to do with PSG at the start. And now they're very much open to him going anywhere he wants. If he wants to go back to Barcelona, go to United, go to Real Madrid, go to anywhere. Because I think they really want to build their team now around Kylian Mbappe.
And we've got updates from the Copa America, the Africa Cup of Nations, and the Under-21 Euros. So search for The Totally Football Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audioboom, at all the usual places. Keep up to date with what we're doing at The Totally Show.
It's the Offside Rule Women's World Cup edition with Spotify. Kate Borsay here, joined by Claire Rafferty and Dr. Carrie Dunn in the Studio of Dreams. Will we be dreaming good dreams about the games tomorrow, though, folks? Netherlands versus Japan. Let's talk about this one first. So the Dutch arguably have brought the best support to this tournament so far, and we can expect more of the left-right song, can't we, prior to this knockout game versus Japan. Japan, well, they didn't kick off their World Cup campaign with the best of starts, failing to score against Argentina and gifting the South Americans their first ever point. A win against Scotland hinted that they might be back to their best, but a 2-0 loss to England showed that the 2015 runners-up are far from on form. Is this the game where Japan finally show up to this World Cup? Claire Rafferty.
Well, I think if they're as wasteful as they were against England, then no. But I think we do have to credit England for the performance that the girls put in. They've got some fantastic talent. Iwabuchi's such a good playmaker on the ball. And when she finds in pockets of space, she's unplayable. But they were just so wasteful. You can't win a World Cup like that. And they'll go out if they keep missing them opportunities.
So the Netherlands will certainly punish that kind of, as you say, wastefulness, a kind of failure to capitalise.
Yeah. What kind of game will the Netherlands play then? Will they just have to hit them with physicality, a bit like we thought England would, because we know Japan like hanging on to the ball, we know that they're organised, but they don't like it when they're sprung a surprise?
Maybe. I mean, I love watching this Netherlands side. I'm really excited to watch them every time they play. I think I tweeted the other day, I wish I were Dutch, because I just loved watching them so much. And the dancing and the left-right thing. But I just find them a really exciting team to watch. And I don't think, well, they might do, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I don't think they're going to let Japan's frailties dictate the way they set up tomorrow.
Yeah,
I think they're going to
go for it
and play their own football.
If you were fangirling a particular Dutch player, who would you be?
Well, obviously, I'm far too grown up to do fangirling. But I do fangirl Daniela van der Donk quite a lot.
And what about you, Claire? If you could be any Dutch player, who would you be?
Jackie Groenen, because she's just got so much potential and she's young.
Exciting time of her career.
Vibrant, and I've seen her at Chelsea kind of grow and then move on to now Man United.
So, yes, she'll be an exciting
But
addition.
Yeah, she's very important for them, I think.
44% of the Netherlands' goals have come from headers. That's stat coming in after the Canada game in the group stages. Do Japan have the height to nullify the aerial threat? And if they don't, what can they do with that interesting stat that I've gifted to them?
No, I don't think they do. And what they need to do is reduce set pieces to avoid as many dead ball situations as possible and try and play to their strengths and not play to the Dutch strengths.
Where would Japan a threat against England? Let's look at the positives of this side, because for small periods of time they did have a go, didn't they? They did force Karen Bardsley to make a few saves.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of good attempts from distance, and also when England were pushing up they did expose some space. Japan were looking to move into that, try and exchange some quick passing. I'm not sure the Netherlands are going to play like that, so I don't think they're going to have the same opportunities, but you know, we'll wait and see.
Well, historically, matches between both Netherlands and Japan average 4 goals. We'll find out in your score predictions later if you're going to reflect that. Well, the earlier kickoff on Tuesday sees Italy take on China. Our final match to preview, ladies, and it has attack versus defence written all over it. China have scored 1 goal in this tournament so far. They soaked up a lot of the pressure during that 0-0 draw with Spain, including 24 shots by the Spaniards. Pretty impressive. As for Italy, they're the tournament's dark horses, finishing top of Group C, scoring 7 goals in the process. So are China finally going to get attack-minded in this game, Carrie?
I think it could be an interesting one. Obviously, going into the tournament, Wang Shuang was the player that all the hype was around. Everyone was talking about her and how exciting she is. But she either hasn't been picked or hasn't had chance to play in her best position. And there's an interesting interview I saw with the coach today. And he's saying that the pressure of being the star of the team has started to tell on her a little bit. Possibly the fact that it's a knockout match might take that pressure off, might give them a chance to push more, give her the ball more.
Because they've literally only scored 1 goal.
These kind of games now, it calls for your big game players, and I definitely think they need to be starting her.
Arguably, she's not been great when she's come on, so it's trying to find other options for Canada. Let's move on to Italy.
China. Canada also has other options, but that's not in this match.
Do you know what? It wouldn't even help if Canada lent them some strikers.
Oh my God.
Right, okay. But arguably, she's not been great when she has got on the pitch. So, look, China are going to have to sort that out. Italy, let's move on to them, have been one of the teams to watch at this tournament. How are they going to fare, though, against this very defensive side? Because we know Italy like goals.
Yeah, but they equally are very defensively robust and hard to break down. So I think it's going to be a high press from Italy because of how China like to absorb the pressure. But they've got great movement up front. And what they do is they fill the box, Italy, with Gorelli and Bonacia. And I just think their ability to create is just so much greater than China's. So for me, they're going to be the ones that go through.
Well, for more on this from an Italian perspective, producer Abby spoke with Carolina Moracci, Italy legend, former player, who's also managed the side and the Canadian national team. The first woman to manage a men's side in Italy and most recently in charge at AC Milan Women. So well worth getting her thoughts on the tournament so far.
You're in Montpellier ahead of the China match for Italy. How is it looking? I imagine it's quite warm there. Yeah, it's quite warm, but as Italian, we used to have this weather, so it's not a big deal for the players, for sure.
And I must admit, we here in Britain, we've been quite surprised by how well Italy have performed this tournament. They are now the dark horses. Have you been surprised by how well the team have been playing?
No, because I know the players and I know our national team. It's true that I'm just a little bit surprised about Australia and Brazil because I expected something more. Mm. But our national team with these two countries, and also against Jamaica, we play very well. I think that in Italy something changed when Juventus, Milan, Rome, Fiorentina, professional men's team came in our side and started to have also women teams. That I think that allow the players to grow a lot and very fast.
Italy have been excellent goal scorers, obviously the 5-0 over Jamaica, equaling the record set by you, who of course scored a hat-trick in 1991. This year it was Girelli with the hat-trick against Jamaica. What do you remember of 1991?
First of all, I remember that all Italian team, we couldn't eat because for us the food was bad. But apart this, was a different football. Also, if there was the team like US, China and Norway that were very, very good team, but the other weren't so good. Instead, now all country grow a lot within women football. And now the level is higher for each country.
Obviously, one of the teams that you have managed in the past is Canada. You took them to the 2011 World Cup. And under your guidance, the Canadian national team rose through the rankings. What was that like coaching in a different country?
No, it's beautiful because you can join your culture of football with the culture of other country. For example, they used to play in a very direct way, long ball. Instead for, as Italian, we prefer to play on the ground. We prefer also to play a beautiful game. So, but was a very, very good experience also because the players were very happy to learn something different and to understand what they were doing at the field.
And you've also coached the Italian national team. Is that something that you're interested in doing, going back into coaching a national side?
I put my CV also to coach England national team.
Oh, really?
Actually, they didn't consider that. I don't know. They said that there weren't women that was good enough for this position.
Wow.
No, I'm a coach and I'm open to coach everywhere. Of course, there are some countries that are more fascinating to coach. But it's also that I'm attracted also to coach in the Premier League, in a women league in England, because the level is very high.
What have you made of England so far in this tournament?
They suffer against Scotland, but now they did very well with the Cameroon, and now the match it became more hard. It's interesting to understand all team where they can arrive. So it's difficult to say the team that can win the tournament. So now maybe Germany, because they didn't conceive any goal and they won all matches. So maybe Germany is the favorite on the tournament, but it's very difficult to say that.
I agree. I think Germany have managed to somehow go a little bit under the radar. Let's bring it back to Italy finally then. How has the expectation in the country changed and how far do you see your national side going?
In my country, it's amazing because now all the first page of the newspaper, they are talking about women football. It's amazing. Everybody talk about the national team. Everybody likes the our players. So it's very interesting what is happening in Italy. I don't know, because I think that our national team can beat China because tactically we are good. We understood what we are doing And in each match that I'm following for Sky TV, they defend in a good way because it's not just that they defend, they attack very high. We do always high pressure. I like the attitude and the approach of the game of the Italian national team, also because the players are very, very humble. That, I think, that could make a difference in the World Cup.
A huge thanks to Carolina Moracci there. Interesting to pick up on this, that she went for the England job, Carrie, but was told that her CV isn't good enough, and now she wants to work in the WSL. Where could she fit in?
Wherever she liked. I'd love to have Moracci over here. That'd be fantastic. Yeah, it's interesting if she's saying that her CV wasn't up to scratch. I mean, one of the very few women with that level of qualification, with a fantastic track record in managing international sides, club sides, both male and female, I would have thought any football association would want to snap her up, I would say.
Well, she did come out and say that after she was rejected for the role, a little time after her and another woman whose name escapes me, but also a very decent CV, both came out and said, look, we felt we were qualified for the job, yet the FA said they didn't have enough CVs from women qualified for the England job. Obviously, Phil Neville was invited to take the job. Definitely a point to prove. So who knows where that will go. Okay, let's wrap things up. It's the point then when we ask you to say two numbers. It's score prediction time. First up, ladies, Italy versus China. Carrie Dunn.
3-1 Italy.
Oh, Clara Fatigue.
3-0 Italy.
Oh, okay. Netherlands, Japan.
4-1 Netherlands.
4-1.
4-1 Netherlands.
Okay, Claire.
5-2.
What?
Two of the goals will be for VAR for Japan.
Wow.
5-2 to the Netherlands.
Yes.
And Japan's goals will both be the subject of VAR reviews.
That is specific prediction, right?
Wow, we are wanting excitement. I don't know whether we'll find. Okay, well, we'll see what happens on Tuesday then in the final games of this round of 16. Until then, keep up to date with everything we're doing by following us on Instagram and on Twitter. It's at Offside Rule Pod. And also, we have a website. It's offsiderulepodcast.com. Match reviews, things we learnt, things we missed. There's a best 11 of the group stage and there'll be another one coming soon as well. All the guys working very hard there to give you some original and some best Women's World Cup content. Raf and Carrie, thank you so much for staying awake with me this evening. Let's all go and get a very strong drink and we'll meet later in the tournament. So listen up, we'll speak again later too. A bientôt for now.
The Offside Rule Women's World Cup edition is a Muddy Knees Media production in association with Spotify.